This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Monday, January 17th, 2022. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On Mondays, traditionally, we pray for the souls in purgatory of our relatives and our loved ones. Now, this is a huge week for the pro-life movement, culminating with the National March for Life in Washington, D.C. this Friday. Now, in solidarity with this March for Life, our annual hashtag #FastForLife is coming up also this Friday. Tell us how you plan to pray and sacrifice for the unborn at relevantradio.com/fast. This year, Relevant Radio and Solidarity HealthShare are proud to offer our hashtag #FastForLife participants a free bonus ebook that you can download. It's called The Choice is Love. It has a lot of great stuff in it. It has answers to questions like, if a woman is pregnant and decides to have an abortion, shouldn't that be her right since it's her body? The classic my body, my choice argument. Now, The Choice is Love is a great tool that will help you in responding to several of the popular arguments, but to be able to respond with compassion. So join Relevant Radio and Solidarity HealthShare this Friday for hashtag #FastForLife at relevantradio.com/fast and claim your free download of The Choice is Love today. Again, that's relevantradio.com/fast. Now I want to bring in my colleague, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, good morning. What's the big story this morning? I can guess what it is, Glenn.
Many parts of the country can look out the window, John, and see what that big story is. If you're a kid, you might really enjoy a good snowstorm, maybe some ice to slide around on, but tough for adults making their way, traveling, making their way, trying to fly somewhere, just trying to do that job outside, if that's what you're up to as well. A massive winter storm with rain, freezing rain, ice and snow hit the southeast, now bearing down on the northeast. About 80 million people affected. High wind advisories in effect for New York and Boston. Snow started there yesterday. Thousands of homes and businesses from Michigan and Maryland down to Georgia without power yet. Over 1,200 flights so far have been canceled today. Delayed flights, another 400 or so. So do call ahead if you're on the East Coast making some travel plans. And, of course, that effect can trickle throughout the country as well, John.
And there's been a ton of snow. North Carolina got about 10 inches. They're expecting about 16 inches of snow in New York. So I thought of all our friends on the East Coast and in the southern part of the country that have been dealing with the severe winter storm. This morning here in the Chicago area, we just had a little dusting. So we count our blessings here in this part of the country, but we pray for all the folks that are going to be going through some tough times here this day with this very severe winter storm, Glenn.
Yeah, could get a little help in terms of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday today, so school off and in many corners, some businesses shut down as well, so that might help with the amount of people on the roads a bit too.
Exactly. And I know that you have a very special story corner for this day to honor Dr. King.
That's right. That'll be coming up before the end of the hour.
Thanks so much, Glenn. We'll check in with you then. We begin every show and every hour giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our power scripture from the playbook of life as we do every morning is from Matthew 5:16. Jesus the Lord says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And this is exactly what we try to do every day here on Morning Air and on Relevant Radio. As Catholic Christians, we need to shine the light of Christ wherever we go every day and try to be a light that shines in the darkness. We must walk in the light as our Lord Jesus Christ is the true light of the world. And we always pray with great confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, as we just mentioned, today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a national holiday in the United States, which we honor the life and legacy of Dr. King. Listen to the famous words of Dr. King in his speech at the Lincoln Memorial. In fact, it was in front of more than a quarter million of people who were on hand at the March on Washington in 1963, in which he called for civil and economic rights and the end of racism in the United States.
"Even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream."
The powerful words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was a scholar and a minister who led the civil rights movement after his assassination on April 4th, 1968. He was commemorated on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Joining us live for much more from San Juan, Puerto Rico, is Dr. Hector Marquez to talk about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his famous "I Have a Dream" speech. Dr. Marquez holds graduate degrees in law and theology. He's an adjunct professor of theology and religious studies at the Universidad Central de Bayamón. He also teaches theological formation courses at the Instituto Superior de Teología y Pastoral of the Archdiocese of San Juan, Puerto Rico. He's also a lay Dominican and currently serves as the Master of Formation for the Dominican Laity in Puerto Rico. Good morning. Buenos dias, Dr. Marquez. Welcome back to Morning Air. Joy to be with you once again here on MLK Day and also for the first time in the new year.
Good morning, John. Good morning to our audience. Buenos dias. From sunny Puerto Rico, where we have a nice 75 degrees right now.
Well, count your blessings, because as you know, the East Coast is getting hit really hard with bad weather this morning. Dr. Marquez, talk to us about the significance of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, especially in these times when our nation needs unity and healing more than ever before.
Yes, that part of the speech you just aired, the famous "I Have a Dream" speech by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is the summary of what this nation represents, especially since he quotes part of that second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, which says that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these rights, a life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those we learn in grade school, we learn it by memory, but those are the foundations of this great nation, and above all, recognizes the fact that we are all created by God, and it represents the unity of all churches, of all Christian denominations, and even non-Christian denominations, because I don't know if you are all aware that in that famous 1963 march on Washington, a Catholic archbishop, as a matter of fact, Archbishop Patrick O. Boyle, a Jewish rabbi, and a Baptist minister, all offered invocations during that great march on Washington, which was a turning point in the civil rights struggle in the United States. So those words, as a matter of fact, every time I hear that speech, my hairs stand on end, because it represents what we intend to be as a nation, what we want to be as a nation, especially, as you say, in these times of great division within our people.
Dr. Marquez, when I think of that speech, I also think of the part of the speech where Dr. King said, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." Such powerful words, such powerful words for all of us to live by.
And they will share that table, which is so consistent with Christ, with the life of Christ, where he shared his table with all races, with sinners, with saints, with tax collectors, with people of all races, of all kinds. So every time I hear the speech, especially where the children of slaves and the children of white people will be able to sit at the same table, it brings tears to my eyes.
I know exactly how you feel, because when I hear Dr. King's words, they touch the core of my heart as well. Can you talk about what the fight for equal rights of our African-American brothers and sisters has represented in the history of the United States?
Well, as I said before, that speech was a milestone that really triggered we all know the story of how our fellow African Americans came to this country. They came in slave ships, and they were enslaved. They were brought to work in the plantations, especially in the South. And since then, they began a struggle to be recognized, to have their human dignity recognized, which, as you know, we did several programs on the social doctrine of the church when we were in relevant radios in Español. And one of the main theme and the main principle of the Catholic social teaching is the dignity of the human person, due to the fact that we are all created in the image of God. And they began this struggle, which took many years and many tears and lots of work. Thank God, God sent to this country Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who started his struggle in a non-violent way, you know, just like Gandhi did in India. He shunned violence, and as a matter of fact, when we read, and I think everybody should read it, the invocation of Archbishop Patrick O. Boyle, in that he says, "May we shun violence." That was part of Archbishop O. Boyle's invocation. "May we shun violence, knowing that the meek shall inherit the earth." And he finished saying, "So that with your help, O Heavenly Father, and following the teachings of Christ your Son, we shall now and in the days to come live together as brothers in dignity, justice, charity, and peace." That was the dream of Dr. Martin Luther King, and that was what he brought to be, what he brought to fruition with his nonviolent struggle, contrary to others who opted for violence.
Absolutely. In fact, there's quite a contrast between Dr. Martin Luther King's approach in his fight for equality from some other leaders and movements in this day and age.
Yes, like Malcolm X and others, the Black Muslim movement, which opted for violence, and the Black Power movement. You remember that? You lived through that, which brought about many confrontations, which are totally unnecessary. And definitely Dr. Martin Luther King's nonviolent approach was the one who brought about equal justice and for all in this country, and was the catapulted the equal voting rights, the and all the laws that were enacted after that.
Dr. Marquez, we have a short time, about a minute to go. Just your thoughts on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from the Birmingham jail, in which he said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." Can there be any greater injustice than abortion, especially in the black community?
Oh, definitely. In these days where abortion is legalized, where euthanasia is knocking on the door, those words are prophetic, and should lead us to consider. Should lead us to consider the principles of Christianity that help protect human life, not only its dignity, but human life from its inception to its natural death. That is what respecting the dignity of the human being, no matter what race, what color, what nation. That is what Dr. King preached, and that is why he was proposed by the National Conference of Bishops at the time, National Catholic Conference of Bishops, for to be included in the list of the Christian martyrs of the 20th century.
Well, Dr. Marquez, thanks so much for your perspective. I really appreciate it on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as we honor his life and legacy today. Thanks so much, Dr. Marquez.
Thank you, John, for having me on your program, and Happy New Year to all.
Thanks so much again. Dr. Hector Marquez, adjunct professor of theology and religious studies at the Universidad Central de Bayamón in Puerto Rico. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, we'll be joined by our financial expert. Billy Oliveri will be with us, the owner of Senegal Capital Management, to talk about how much money does it take to retire comfortably. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Sure plays a mean pinball.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Great to be with you once again to start the week here on this Monday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, the latest financial news last week reported prices jumping 7% in December, the highest level in nearly 40 years. After committing to a career for many decades, retirement is a long-awaited milestone. How much money do you need to comfortably retire? Well, I guess it all depends. It could be $1 million, $2 million, or even much more. It also seems that everything is so much more expensive here at the beginning of 2022, from bacon and eggs to beef and gasoline. We're seeing huge price spikes. Gas is up 49%. Meat and poultry is up over 12%, although my wife says that it's a lot more than that. What does all this inflation, this high inflation, mean for retirement planning, both for today and down the road? Joining us now to talk about how much money does it take to retire comfortably from a Catholic perspective is longtime Morning Air contributor Bill Oliveri, the owner of Senegal Capital Management. Senegal is bridging the gap between traditional investing and digital assets. Good morning, Bill. Welcome back to the show. Great to be with you once again. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, John. Great being with you in the new year.
Absolutely. This is the first time that you and I are able to connect. Let's talk about these high inflation rates that we've seen, the highest since Ronald Reagan was president. How is that affecting the mood of our country right now? And for anybody that's trying to plan for retirement down the road?
Well, it's making it definitely increasing the number of obstacles that we have to have, because inflation is really a tax. It is where the prices are pushed up because you have more dollars chasing the same or fewer number of goods. And it really is a devastating erosion effect on our finances, and really what makes the need for retirement planning and investing and doing something with, you know, the cash that we have in our checking accounts and savings accounts. I mean, it really has to inspire us and spur us to do more. So, you know, we're already 17 days into 2022. We've already started our make changes about our diets and our exercise, our personal goals, like all these plans, our bucket list for 2022. And there are resolutions, right? These are resolutions that we make in the beginning of the year. And for successful people, it seems they continue to revisit those resolutions every few months down the road, right? Just like when we go to confession. Every single time that we go to confession, we say an act of contrition, we make a resolution to do better. And then here we are. You know, I've been confessing the same sin since 1994. I've been making the same resolutions to my spiritual life as I do to everything else, whether it's my family or my finances. And you do the best that you can. And so retirement plans are exactly the same. And we're going to have to take into account higher inflation, because honestly, we've had 40 years of lower and lower interest rates, 40 years of relatively low inflation, all things considering, a very accommodative stock market. And we have to be prepared for a change in the course of how things are going. And that's going to affect everybody, whether you're 8 or 88. This is going to be, we're going to need to pray for wisdom over the next, you know, 20 or 30 years, John.
Absolutely. And in terms of planning for retirement, it really does matter where you're at. Obviously, you plan a little differently when you're younger, in your 20s and 30s, than when you're in your 40s and late 50s. What should we keep in mind? What are some of the basic fundamentals that we need to understand when planning for retirement? Because I believe that there really is no magic formula per se about how much money you actually need.
I will say there's no magic formula for the amount of money that you need, but the rules, the same rules apply across all economic areas. So if you don't have some kind of retirement plan, then you're really planning to fail. Right? You have to have something. And I would say that most of the listeners who are listening to me now don't even have a plan. They don't even know how much it's going to take. So let's start with a little activity. Let's start with just a little fun thing here. So we want to say, rather than retiring in 10 or 15 years and hope that you have enough money, what happens if you're going to retire at the end of January, right? In 14 more days, let's just pretend that you and me and everyone who's listening are going to retire from our work on February 1st. Now, this is what you have to do, and you can use just the back of an envelope, a little legal pad. This is the easiest retirement plan anybody's ever had. So, for your first month of retirement, just think about how much money you might get in Social Security or any pension benefits you might be getting from your employer. Just whatever money's coming in retirement that you kind of can bank on right now, whatever that is. Then take that amount and subtract it from what you need to live on in the month of February. Is it an extra $1,000 a month, $2,000 a month, $3,000? Like whatever it is, it's okay. Don't run away from this exercise. So take what you need to live starting February 1st every single month, subtract what you're going to get from Social Security and any kind of pension, and then multiply that by 12, right? And that's what you're going to need on an annual basis to live in retirement. And you still have to account for some taxes in that. So, John, this is the thing. I want everyone to know that there's the good thing and there's the bad thing. The good thing is this. This is probably the biggest struggle is, there's only going to be two outcomes here. Either you're going to have enough in retirement or you're not. It's a very binary kind of situation. Either you're going to pull this off or you won't pull it off. Now, on the other side is nobody, and I mean virtually nobody, has enough cash reserves. Not everybody has enough life insurance or disability insurance. Not very few many people have enough for college education for their kids or their grandchildren. I mean, because financial planning ultimately is just like the science of choice. It's the art of choice. And so I think really we need to stop thinking about numbers and mutual funds and interest rates and gold and Bitcoin and all these other kind of things. And let's just get right down to brass tacks. We need to figure out what we need and to fill up that deficit, because inflation is going to, you know, affect our retirement plans going down the road. And I just want you to know, of for every 10 people who are listening to this, I'm saying 9.5 don't know this number. And so that's really what we need to get at first, John.
We're joined by Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Seneca Capital Management. We're talking about how much it takes to retire comfortably. Bill, this sounds like a very sensible formula, but the bottom line is you got to plan. The old adage, a few people plan to fail, but many fail to plan. And so I think the very first step, if nothing else, if we can get nothing else out of this conversation, then you got to start somewhere. You got to start with a plan.
Absolutely. And listen, I'm guilty of praying for riches. I am guilty for praying for more money. I'm guilty of praying to win the lottery. But I'm telling you, that's not the answer. The answer really is to pray for wisdom. And it's to say that prayer that St. Jose Maria Escriva of Opus Dei would say, is you want to begin again. Nobody, including an investment advisor, wants to look at this ugly beast in the eyes, in the mirror, because that's ultimately where the responsibility lands. We have to just take the simplest little post-it note. Just when the mail comes in today, just flip over a piece of junk mail in the back of a clean envelope and write down these few numbers. Because once you have a decent idea of how much you need to withdraw in your first year of retirement, you have to remember that you're going to be retiring over 10 years, over 15 years, over 20 years. And you're going to have to need to know what this number is and plan accordingly. Now, what we do is, the beautiful thing is, if you have an idea of what that number is, it's super easy to do the reverse math. Like, how much do I have to have in the market? How much do I have to have in bonds? How much should I have in commodities? And again, I think we're going through this structural change where you had mentioned at the very beginning of the episode that we have not had this kind of inflation since Ronald Reagan. And I remember Ronald Reagan. I remember short-term interest rates being 19% or 21%.
After Jimmy Carter.
Yes. I shook his hand in the basement of the Board of Trade, actually. That's one of my claims to fame. But, you know, inflation just completely eats up and erodes, and we have to plan for that. And we can plan for that.
People are having a really tough time just meeting their day-to-day expenses because of the inflation that we're seeing right now. These last 2 years have been tough for a lot of folks during the pandemic. How do you set aside extra money for savings? What do you recommend in terms of the percentage of one's income that you should try to set aside in some kind of reliable vehicle on a regular basis?
Boy, John, you know, that is really the tough question, because when, you know, most financial planners advise on 10% of your paycheck, but I don't think I know anybody that does 10% of their paycheck. I know people that are doing 2%, 3%, 5%, and they're really doing the best they can. And this is why inflation is so hideous, is because it does prevent us from setting money aside and investing in things that help keep up with inflation. I see it. It's very common in my book of business with my own clients who are retired. They're in their 70s, late 70s, early 80s, and they're watching every penny. And they have, for example, if they have two parking spaces with their condominium, they'll rent one of them out for $50 a month. And so we all have to just, again, take a look at where our finances are. And again, this is the science and art of choice. We all want to have nice furniture. We all want to have nice cars. We all want to have monthly subscriptions to our favorites, you know, streaming movie service, all these things. But ultimately, in order to get that number I had been discussing in this episode, you need to make choices. And sometimes those choices aren't easy. I know Relevant Radio has been all across the board with making very tough financial decisions since I was introduced to it in 2008 and 2009. But now look at how you have reigned over, R-E-I-G-N, you have reigned over your finances. But at the same time, you still struggle because you have to do the fundraising. You have to watch out what you're spending money on. And it's about choices. It really is. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're making minimum wage or whether you're making, you know, you're really making bank. You have to still watch every single penny.
Bill, just a final thought, 30 seconds on people who are worried that they're going to run out of money as they approach retirement, or even people who are in retirement right now. Any advice?
John, sincerely, you have to pray for wisdom and do not be afraid. I say that over and over and over again because we all make it, every one of us. I don't know anybody personally, and I don't mean to be trite when I say this. I don't know anybody living under a bridge. I don't know anybody who's so bad that they are living in the streets, right? They may have to move in with family, and maybe they downsize their house and leave their home of 50, 60 years and buy a smaller place or a condominium or rent an apartment or get a trailer home. Like, it's all okay. We're going to figure it out. And everybody figures it out. It's true. So don't panic. Don't be afraid. And just pray for wisdom.
Great, great advice, Bill. Appreciate it so much. We're going to have to do a whole show on Social Security. I think it's so important to make those decisions, and I'm sure that you could share some wisdom on that issue as well. Thanks so much, Bill.
All right, John. Thank you.
Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senecal Capital Management. For more, you can go to senecalcapital.com. We're going to take a short break when Morning Air continues. A Catholic speaker and author Gary Zimek will join us to talk about what it means to live the abundant life. Stay with us. There's a lot more to come. We're just getting going here on Morning Air. We'll be back after this.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Good to be with you here this morning once again on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Our number, if you want to be part of our show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, we know that Jesus the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is the author of life. God wants us to live an abundant, prosperous life. Jesus also said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, what does our blessed Lord mean when he said that? What does it mean to live an abundant life? Joining us now for more perspective on living that abundant life is longtime Morning Air contributor Gary Zimek, Catholic speaker, author, and radio host. Gary is the author of several books, including his latest new book called Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. His previous book is called Give Up Worry for Good. Gary lives in South Jersey with his wife and two daughters. Good morning, Gary. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you for the first time this year. How's the weather conditions in your part?
Yeah, John, good morning. Happy New Year. We're doing well. You know that I know a lot of people were experiencing a lot of difficulties with this storm. We're doing well right now. Just, I don't even think it's raining. The temperature is above freezing. So I'm happy, brother.
Count your blessings because your neighbors in the state of New York, they're getting blasted, expecting 16 inches of snow. Oh. So. Yes, indeed. Well, Gary, what do you think our Lord Jesus Christ meant when he said that he came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly? What did our blessed Lord mean?
You know, John, I love this verse, John 10:10, because it really gives somebody like me, somebody who struggles with anxiety, somebody who tends to get discouraged, it gives me hope that no matter what is going on around me, if I follow Jesus, life with Jesus means, if I let it mean that, you know, if I let it unfold, that I can live at peace no matter what. I think there's a temptation to look at a verse like this and say that he's saying that if I pray hard enough, I'm going to get everything I want. I don't think that if you look at the life of Jesus, and I don't think if you look at his words, he's ever trying to say anything like that. What he's saying is something even more powerful, that if we follow him, if we turn to him, if we surrender our lives to him, it doesn't mean we'll never have to suffer. It doesn't mean we will not have material, we'll have material wealth. What it means is that we can find peace in him beginning in this life. See, he's talking about eternal life. The life begins here, this new life with Jesus extending for all eternity. Once we leave this earth, then we enter into a life without these burdens that weigh us down. But it's still possible to find that peace in this life right now, even amongst all kinds of problems and difficulties.
That's why it's important to have an eternal perspective. Eternal life actually begins here on earth, here and now. We don't really have to wait till we get to heaven to experience this abundant life that our Lord talks about.
You know, you're right, John, and that's I think we sell ourselves short. We often expect too little from our relationship with the Lord. Later today, in a short while, when we're done this interview, I'm going to go to daily mass. I'm going to be able to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, and I'm going to have that moment where it's just me and Him. And earlier this morning, I start my day by just spending some time in a quiet place in my house, and I just put myself in the presence of Jesus, and I said, Lord, it's you and me right now. Let's spend time together, you know. And I talk to Him, and I don't turn on the TV, and I don't look at my social media streams. I you know, because I just want that time to be with the Lord. And really, what's going on around me? Yeah, it matters. I've got to react to it at some point. But if we can just have this life with our Lord and connect with Him, make that decision to get away to connect with Him, we can have peace no matter what is going on around us.
Gary, there's a lot of folks who know about our Lord Jesus Christ, but you got to take it to another level to really know Him personally, to have that intimacy that we try to talk about here on the show, and that personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ that so many of the saints have been able to discover throughout the centuries, the place where you can get that real peace and really be able to live that abundant life, that trusting in Jesus.
Yeah, and John, let me just share with you, this is a struggle for me because I'm one of these guys that likes to read about Jesus. I like to read prayer books. I have a lot of prayer books that I read, which teach me how to pray. But, you know, until the point where I put down the book and spend time with the Lord, those books really aren't going to do me that much good. It's like reading a book on how to swim and never going in the pool, right? Sooner or later.
Great analogy.
But that's what I tend to do. But I've learned that I just have to sit with Him. I have to make that time. John, just as Jesus did with His Father, He got away early in the morning. He went to a deserted place and He prayed. And it took me a long time to learn this, but now that I have this relationship with Him, I want to work on it for the rest of my life and grow closer to Him.
You know, here on the show on Fridays, I always try to encourage our listeners, if you can, spend a few moments, even if it's just a minute in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I remember back when I first met Father Rocky, and he used to be the chaplain at Northridge Prep, and I would go into that chapel, and I would see these grammar school and high school kids. They'd walk in one at a time. For about 60 seconds, they'd genuflect in front of the Blessed Sacrament, spend a minute in front of it, and then walk out. And to me, that's a great example to learn at a young age, that you don't need to spend hours and hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Even just a few moments saying, Jesus, I trust in You. Jesus, help me today.
Exactly. You know, John, when I was working, before I was in full-time ministry, I was working as a software developer. And there was a period where I would stop in the Adoration Chapel before and after work, just for a few minutes, just to ask the Lord for the strength to get through the day. And at the end, to thank Him for what He did for me. You know, you hit on it. You start small, spend a few minutes with Him. Everyone's got a few minutes to spend with the Lord. And if you can't get to an Adoration Chapel, which is a great thing to do, if you can't, find the time during the day. You just have to do it. I am living proof that this works. You know, this relationship with Jesus works. Do I always feel Him? No, but I know He's real. I know He's there. And often I start my prayer by saying, Lord, I know You're with me. I can't see You. I can't feel You, but Lord, I know You're here. And over time, and I'm you know what this is like, over time, you just become convinced He's with me. And I can make it through whatever it is that I'm going to be struggling with today. I can do it with the Lord by my side.
Gary, I so much appreciate you sharing your powerful testimony, because the Lord loves His prodigal sons. So many of us have left the faith. We put the faith on vacation, put the faith up on top of the shelf, and then come back years later. Those seeds that were planted by our parents then come to fruition. And, you know, so you can always return even if you've been away for a while.
Exactly. And the beautiful thing about the Lord is He won't hold it against you. And I'm glad you mentioned those seeds planted by our parents, because, you know, my parents, they insisted that we would go as a family to church every week. I didn't get it. years later, I started to reap the benefit of the seeds that they planted.
Absolutely. This is a big week in the pro-life movement, culminating with the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and many other national, you know, other marches across our country besides the National March in D.C. What does this message of living the abundant life, what does this have to do with defending the dignity of all human life?
John, I think it's a great message that the Lord gives because he came to offer the abundant life, not just to those who are deemed, who deem themselves worthy, but to everybody. So what our Lord is saying, and by his life, we saw what he did. He hung out with the people that nobody wanted to hang out with. He reminds us that every life is sacred. Every life matters. And for somebody like me, who's always been a relatively quiet person and easy to ignore, you know, that's a very refreshing message, knowing that Jesus cares about me personally. And we need to remember that those who are often discarded by society, the elderly, the unborn, those people, those souls matter to Jesus very much. And, it's an important week to reflect on it. All life matters. All life is important. And Jesus gives us that example.
Absolutely. A lot of folks are waiting for the Lord to make them prosper. But God wants us to make our way prosperous. How should we follow him going out into the world with that real confidence that the shepherd will care for his sheep?
Yeah, I think the key to it is to remember that that the Lord will promise, he promised to provide for our needs, not necessarily for our wants. And, you know, I was listening to your previous guest talk about finances. After 10 years in full-time ministry, I had to make a lot of sacrifices. We've had to sell our house. We live in a very, very, very small home now. There are sacrifices we had to make. The Lord has provided for our needs all the time, but not necessarily for our wants. Many times we get that confused. Yes, he will prosper us, but not necessarily in financial ways. He will bless our lives. He will allow us to bear good fruit, but it's more than things. It's more than material possessions. That was a hard lesson for me to learn because I'm always a guy who have liked stuff. I had a lot of stuff throughout my life, but I'll tell you what, brother, I am happier now. And I got just about nothing. My family and I live so modestly. I'm happier now than I ever was. And I owe that all to Jesus.
Well, you are blessed, Gary. And our Lord reminds us when he said, where your treasure is, there is your heart. So the treasure should not be the material stuff. I mean, stuff comes and goes, but only the eternal lasts forever.
You know what, John? And if you ask him, he'll change your heart. And I had a priest tell me that in confession one time. I said, well, Father, I really like to buy things. What can I do? He said, well, we're material creatures. We tend to like that. He said, ask the Lord to take that desire away. Believe it or not, I actually struggled to do that because I didn't want the desire to go away. But once I asked him, the Lord changed my heart. And now I desire him more than anything.
Well, Gary, as always, I really appreciate your perspective and your sincerity. It comes across your passion for our Lord, and I know that this is something that touches many hearts for our listeners across our country. So one final thought on what we can do here in this new year. We got about 20 seconds.
Make time for prayer. You know, John, that's the key thing. Make time for prayer. Spend a little time with the Lord each day and then trust him. He loves you. He'll take care of you. And it's never too late to return to him, no matter what you did.
Amen. Thanks so much, Gary. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me, brother. God bless.
Gary Zimek, longtime Morning Air contributor and Catholic speaker and author. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
And on this special holiday, the words from the I Have a Dream speech of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream.
Yes.
It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream.
Yes.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
Yeah.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. And this will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
There you have it, John. The words, Martin Luther King Jr.
Powerful, powerful words. Touches one's heart without a doubt. And we'll have, more coming up next hour. Thanks so much, Glenn. In fact, next hour here on Morning Air, Peter Breen Vice President, Senior Counsel at the Thomas More Society, will join us with the latest on some key legal cases, including the case of investigative journalist David DeLeiden. And Marcel Lejeune, the President and Founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, will explain why passive Catholic discipleship is a recipe for failure. Stay with us. There's a lot more coming up next hour here on Morning Air.